kun den første.
I'll greet you all with Om Shanti. That simply means I am a peaceful being. And it doesn't just mean, but we feel it, we experience it. And so, really, the most effective experience in life is to feel. And I see that I have ample time with all of you. So I am going to share with you on this evening's topic, appreciating now. But together with that, I would like to share a little bit about Africa too. How many of you know Africa? Oh, wow. Maybe. Surprising, because people in India don't really know Africa, you know, and America. And so they asked me a very interesting question. Do you have weather like this in Africa? Do you have houses like this in Africa? And I sometimes wonder what to tell them. Because Africa is not a tiny little village or a town or a country. It's a huge, huge, huge continent. And I think the whole world is in Africa, you know, diversity-wise. Nationality, language, you know, you can just name it. Culture, food. And so I cannot talk about Africa just as, you know, one, because it's so vast. We have all types of weathers. We have deserts, we have heat, we have snow, we have cold, we have everything. And we have all foods, not only one particular food. And so it's a very diverse and very, very huge continent. The Brahma Kumaris first came to Africa 37 years ago. And the first Brahma Kumaris center was in Zambia, in Lusaka. And that's where I met the Brahma Kumaris. And ever since then, I have been practicing this and enjoying and growing. And of course I saw the activities growing too. So it started 37 years ago. But now we have the Brahma Kumaris presence in 43 countries. And it's very interesting that when we started the activities, we just started, we did not think, we did not plan anything, it just naturally happened, organic growth, you know. And so first it was Zambia, so we started going into Zambia everywhere. And then we started going to the neighboring countries because we knew them, you know, some of them. And so slowly it started growing. And I remember in the 90s, I was in Portugal at the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center in Lisbon. And we were having an evening exactly like this, but with ambassadors and high commissioners of Africa. The person who was running the center there, she invited ambassadors and high commissioners of Africa. So there were about 10 or 15 countries. And we were all having a chat and then dinner together. And one of the ambassadors asked me, where are the Brahma Kumaris centers in Africa? Which countries? So I was very proudly telling this country and that country and that country, and he caught me right. He said, oh, you only have Brahma Kumaris in Anglophone countries. Mm-hmm. English countries. And the most comfortable and the most secured, you know, and the best in weather. You don't have any other countries? And I was like, that's true. We had never ever noticed that. And this is what, you know, helps us to grow. And when I realized that we were in the most secured and the most beautiful countries, weather-wise, security-wise, infrastructure-wise, language-wise, you know, because we only knew English. So I decided, no, we need to step out and go somewhere else now. And the first country I stepped out after those English comfortable countries was Mozambique. And it had just come out of war, about 5 years after the war, 30 years of war. And it wasn't at that time still in its good shape. Not only war, but war and then weather, because there was a lot of floods. So a city was washed out completely. But in spite of all that, people's hearts were beautiful. Very beautiful. And so I will share about that story later, but let us first use our time on the topic appreciating now. Why I chose this topic when Sonia asked me, because I love it. Not only love it, as I told you, but I do it. I appreciate that moment, you know, that moment in life. Whereas human beings in the world do it the other way around. Please don't take me 100%. Whenever I give a comment or an example, it is not 100%. Maybe there are some people who don't do that way, but majority do that way. So when I say something, that in the world it's like this or world like that, it's majority world is going towards that direction. And so if you notice what we do as human beings regularly, wherever we are, we do not see much there, but we can see further on. Or we turn back and we see at the back. Or we see sideways. And so, for example, if you are here now in Denmark or in Copenhagen, you would say, no, you know, Africa is so wonderful, it's so nice. I miss this there and I miss that there. But when you're there, you miss Copenhagen. I said, no, you know, actually Denmark is very nice, very organized, very this, very that. So we have a habit of always, you know, living away from now, either in the past or either in the future. Of course, we don't know what the future is. So we create hopes. To create hope is not wrong, it's very beautiful. But avoiding the present and then creating the hope of future, there is nothing like future really. That future is also going to be now. You understand? By the time you reach there, it's going to be now. So then you will avoid that now. So all your dreams and all your hopes have been washed out. You've been waiting for that thing for such a long time. Now that you got it, you don't want it. Or you don't even notice. And then we look for another hope. And I always compare that with history. History. You see, history is something which is past. And so when it was happening, nobody near really noticed it. Nobody really appreciated it. But when it becomes history, Then people jot it down, record it, you know, appreciate it. And can you imagine it goes into the books? It becomes a memorial. It becomes a museum. And so we linger on the past. We live on that past, you see. If you were born and brought up in a countryside or a farm with your family, with your parents, you were there, but you were not appreciating that. That time you were dreaming to go to a city, you know. That time you were dreaming to fly out of the home, you know, or you want to be independent or something like that. So you were not taking the pleasure of that. But when you go away from that, then you start remembering. I had such a beautiful childhood. You know? Or you remember, I had such lovely parents. You know? I wish I could spend more time with my parents now. Or whatever your heart is in, you know, maybe it's the country, maybe it's the house, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your siblings, whatever it is. Maybe it's your childhood, you know? Maybe it's your school. See? But that will not come back to you. It's gone. Maybe that relationship is gone. Maybe that parents are not around, you know. And so I personally have experienced. I remember when I was in school, in high school, it was the best. I had the best life, the school time. But I didn't appreciate it then. I was quite groggy at that time, you know. I had to go to school, wake up, wear a uniform, you know. The school could offer us everything best, you know. They offered us such a beautiful uniform that it creates enthusiasm. It's supposed to create enthusiasm to go to school. We had best teachers, we had best everything, environment, you know. In spite of that, I did not appreciate it. You know? I was looking forward to going away from that phase of life and look for another one. You know? But guess what? I then realized when I went away from that time that I had treasure. I had everything what I needed. And I didn't appreciate it. And even today, after a spiritual journey of so many years, I left high school many years back. Even today when I go to Zambia, Lusaka, I go for my official work, you know, for this organization. I have a lot of work. I'm very busy. But I make a point to at least drive to my school, my high school. It's quite far into the, you know, outskirts. And I go to the school. It's closed because it's holiday time. But I just walk around. I just walk around in the school and bring back those memories. I walk in every corner, and as though I am there now, go back in time. And, you know, I literally feel I am there. And I walk into the classroom. Of course, it's very painful, very, very painful. Because that time and now, day and night difference. The standard of the school is gone, you know. The infrastructure is gone, it's quite old. Things have changed a lot from those days, from the 60s and 70s, you know. Now we are in 2000s. It's very different, very, very different. So if you see that, that is just history now. And history doesn't give you so much pleasure when you are then there, But when you remember the past, you remember and we, you know, we feel very happy, but also quite, you know, heavy about it. Rather than that, let me first take the pleasure of now. That I learnt a lot from them. The other thing is, I need to rectify, I need to save now, this moment. After I finish with you, you know, I'm not going to get that again. Then I would say, I wish I would have shared this and I would have shared that, you know. But it's gone, it's finished now. And so let me just do it now. It's a very beautiful feeling. One time I remember, I went to this very, very wealthy family, you know, in Africa. Very wealthy family. Oh, you should see their standard, you know. And they invited me for a dinner. Very exclusive. And when I went for dinner, they had all these antiques, you know, you call it antiques, you know. Can you imagine how much we pay for those antiques? A fortune, isn't it? Whether it's a door, or whether it's a window, or whether it's a chest drawer, or whether it's plates or pots or whatever it is. And they kept on telling me, we got this from this place, and we got that one, this place, and that palace, and this thing, you know, and we paid a fortune for this. I said, yes, of course I know. But ask the people in those days, when they had to use that, how did they feel? You know, like in India, they cook in clay pots, you know. Have you seen those clay pots they cook in there, you know? And I think they must be thinking of Koningware and Pyrex and, you know, Dularex or something like that. I wish we could have that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had to cook on this wood stoves and what you call coal stove and, you know, all that. They must be thinking of microwaves, mm-hmm. you know. You understand? I wish I could have the opportunity to use a microwave that was, they would think, you know. And they wanted this extremely glass and all that, isn't it? But now that that time is finished, can you imagine we go back to the antique or the old system, you know, and we actually give so much importance to it, so much value to it, so much value. So what is it? Is it the past, present, and the future? Or is it the now? Of course, anything which is past, and I want to bring it into present, I will have to pay a penalty for it. A lot of money, a lot of, you know, efforts. But if I just take it now, then it's going to be mine. It's going to be an experience. It's not just going to be a history, but it's going to be an experience. You understand? One is to experience the history, but the other one is to experience thee. Whenever I see these castles and ruins and all that, I feel it. I wish I could see it real, you know, real. Like I was in Nottingham and they took me to this castle, Robin Hood Castle. And of course, as children, we, you know, watched Robin Hood a lot, you know. And I was like, I was gone back in, I don't know which year, you know. And they were explaining me, there used to be woods here. All this was Robin Hood woods, you know. And now we have this brick house is there, you know. The woods is gone. And I was like, I wish I could experience that. I would love to look at that. Not now. The value reduces. If it is the past, we have to pay a lot. But, you know, it. Do you understand what I mean? It dilutes. You know, the experience dilutes. And if you're going to wait for the future to come to you, that also is going to dilute. But if I live in the present, if I live in the now, it's real concentrated, real rich, real beautiful. How do I do that? It's a million-dollar question. How do I do that? Because, you know, we drift away all the time. The mind drifts away. Either in the past or either in the future or either sideways, wavering, always wavering. And that's the mind. I do not want to control my mind, because nowadays nobody likes controlling. Even the mind doesn't like controlling. Even the children doesn't like to be controlled. You know? So I don't want to control, but I want to discipline. So discipline is very different than to control. And so the first thing I need to understand is I, the master, is disciplining the mind. Because the past, the present, and the future is actually created in the mind. And so if I have mastery, you know, over the mind or disciplining the mind, then I would never, you know, wait for the past. Or I would never wait for the future. I would be there. Now I will give you an example of our day-to-day activities. You know, when you're at work, you think about the house, the home. I wonder what my mom cooked, or I wonder what my wife cooked, or I wonder what my husband cooked, you know. So you're at work, but you're thinking about the home. Whoever is at home. Maybe the husband, maybe the wife, maybe the mother, maybe the father, or a sister, or a friend, whoever it is. But when you're with them, you think about work. I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to get this appointment, I need to do this meeting. And so you're not there. When you're with friends, you think about office. When you're in the office, you think about friends. So either we are in the past, or either we are in the future. But we are never there. Now, where does that go? Is one, I need to first go within myself and look at my heart. What are my emotions telling me? And then look at my mind and my intellect. What is my logic telling me? And then look at your physical body. Where are you? Your body is right here at the moment in the meditation center. Yeah? Sitting here, you're going to be worried about home, you know, or tomorrow morning, I have to rush to a meeting tomorrow. You can't do anything now. So why are you thinking about that? You can't cook here now. So why are you worried about the dinner now? Be here for an hour. Physically, you are already here. But together with physical, bring your mind and intellect also here. You know? And your heart also here. So the very first thing is, I have harmony within myself. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Harmony within myself. So my physical body is here, my logic is here, you know, and my emotions are here. So I'm not torn apart. I have harmony within myself. When I have harmony within myself, I am in the present. I am now here. And it's a beautiful feeling. Because you're 100% there. it's a feeling of wholeness, not a feeling of torn apart, divided, you know, clattered or shattered or whatever. You should try it out. It's so beautiful. And how can I do that? That's where I take the help of the mind. I am a being which consists of the mind, intellect, and tendency, or personalities, traits. So that mind has got different levels. One is the conscious mind. You're all here. You're all here. You know, looking at me, listening to me, maybe acknowledging, you know, maybe questioning. You're right here with your conscious mind. But the subconscious mind is roaming around here and there. You know, maybe in the candle, you know, maybe in the sound at the back of the room, maybe outside, you know, maybe somewhere else, maybe thinking I would like to go to Africa one time, you know, something like that. So your subconscious mind is roaming around. It's not here now. And you would say, how do I do that? Don't worry, it's okay not to worry about that. And of course, we all know medically what an unconscious mind is. It's there but non-functional, it doesn't work. But we've always neglected one level of the mind, which is superconscious level of the mind. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. You know, and when I discipline and tap that conscious level of the mind, I can do whatever I want. It's just so beautiful, very powerful. Super conscious level of the mind, and we all have it. We'll all have it. It's just that it's been suppressed. It's been suppressed with other things, all the you know, the cluttering. The, you know, subconscious had taken over. So we think, oh, the subconscious is very powerful or very influential, you know. But no. The superconscious is the most powerful. Anything what you have tried with your conscious mind, if you're smoking non-stop and you tell yourself, I want to stop this smoking, you know, the subconscious will interrupt and say, no, no, you can't stop. It's not possible, you know. If you stop, you'll get sick, you'll get unwell, you see. So, you understand there's a clash between these two minds, you know. But the moment you develop the superconscious level of the mind, it's just so beautiful. You can be there now. And take the pleasure of that. Not only that, but you know, you're so conscious, you know, you're such a master that you can actually, you know, develop what you want around you. I will give you another example. You with your colleagues, or you with your friends, or you with your siblings, whoever you are with, and you're having a chat or conversation, you know, and suddenly you land up with an argument. And you land up in such a horrible argument, you know, and then you part. You part. The person is gone, the time is gone, the issue was passed. But you're going to carry that and you keep on bringing it into the present as though it just happened now. So that little act of argument is going to follow you all the time, everywhere. And it's going to haunt you. Not only haunt you, but all your life. So what I need to do is, I want to transform that now. So the moment I am having a conversation and I am about to land into an argument, let me transform that. And it will transform there and then. I am such a master. I only want to create something which gives me pleasure. I carry forward that pleasure, those memories. And I want to avoid anything else. I'll just give you an example. This morning it was a little bit crazy. When I arrived at the Heathrow, of course I was, you know, on time, but I just went through assumption, you know. And when the security came, they asked me, have you got water? I said, yes. Have you got water? And I said, no. You know, I assumed, because I travel the world, all the airports have a system, you know. If you have a 100 ml water bottle, it's fine, you can go, you know. So I said, no, because I had 100 ml water bottle. I did have my bag. And so I said, no. I should have said, yes, I have a 100 ml water bottle. I didn't. Yeah, I assumed, assumption, you know. And God, when I came through the x-ray, you should have seen the nightmare, yeah? When I came through the x-ray, my bag went away this way, you know, in other words, checking, automated, you know. And so now this guard was standing right in front of my bags. Are these your bags? I said, yes. So it's like a huge crime I've done now, you know? Yes. And he started taking out each and everything from there. Each and everything with the gloves, as though it was like infected, you know? Even the lock, you know? The lock was checked like, you know, anything. Now I was getting a little bit, you know, itchy that now the gates are closing. So I very politely told him, I said, the gates are closing. He says, you can miss your flight, you know? And I was like, ooh, missing my flight? So why didn't you declare your water? You know? I said, 100 meals go through any airport. He says, where's the label? There was no label on it. Of course, but the signs was, it can tell you it's 100 meals. But he needs a label. It was washed away. You know? He says, I'm going to throw this away. He threw it away. But also, you know, he started checking everything, started putting it under the machines and all that. And yes, I was now going like this, you know, my adrenaline was like, you know, it's high now. And ultimately I packed everything, each and everything, and I rushed. And I had to go quite far. And I was running, because I didn't want to miss the flight and mess up the whole thing. And he said, if you miss your flight, just go to the BA people and you will be sorted out, you know. It's very easy to say that, isn't it? But anyway, when I just arrived, the gates were open. And people were going in and I had to wait in that queue for about 15 minutes. Yeah. So then I was telling myself, why did I go through that, you know, that adrenal sort of shot, you know? Why did I have to do that? Why did I get so excited about it, you know? No, I should have taken it calm. See? So I know the subconscious is very notorious. It takes us through that experience, you know, which takes your, you know, pleasure of the now, isn't it? And then, you know, all flight, I was like, next time I'm not going to worry. You know, if anything like this happens, it's okay. Just let go and be there. You know, be there. But this is how you grow. It doesn't just happen like that. We're not angels. You see? So do not expect a lot from yourself. When I say that, you can't expect 100%. Otherwise, you'll get distant, you know. But this is how you learn, and this is how you grow. You know? And of course, I waited in that queue for 15 minutes. I was like, I was breathing now properly, you know. And I said, Pratibha, you don't need to go through this every now and then. You've learned your lesson, you know. It's okay. See? So this is what I call now the pleasure of now. Sometimes we learn, sometimes we experience, you know. And so this was a learning process. But most of the time I experience the beauty. Like now, I'm experiencing the beauty. Somebody asked me, you know, is this your first time to Denmark? And I said, yes, you know. So when Sonia took me around, I was taking the pleasure of now. I was not thinking about yesterday, UK, and yesterday, the other place. No, I finished that now. That was beautiful. But this is also equally beautiful. So this is how I discipline my mind. But there is a clash always between the conscious and the subconscious, always. You know? So let's leave the conscious and the subconscious there, resting. Let's bring in the superconscious. It's there with us. It's just that it's resting. Now let the others rest, you know? And let's start working on a very spiritual dimension. Because remember, I, the being, is a spiritual being. I'm not this physical, you know, but we are actually not balancing. And this is why we you know, get imbalanced, you know, or we get uneasy, or we get stressed, or we get, you know, excited about something. But if I start using my conscious level of the mind, then I am very relaxed. The superconscious level of the mind, then I'm very relaxed, very, very relaxed. You know? I am there now, present now. And I can really energize myself. Whereas living in the past or trying to live in the future takes my energy away. It drains me out. Living in the now energizes me. Not only energizes me, but also fills me with power. So I'm going to share that now. One is, in English, one is called energy. And the other one is called power. And the third one is called strength. It all sounds the same, isn't it? Strength, energy, power. But it has its own correct place. Strength is accumulated in the physical body. By your food, your diet, your exercise, your rest, your sleeping, you know, whatever. If something goes wrong, there's an effect on your strength on the body. And when the body doesn't cope with you, you know that the strength is gone. You know? You understand? And so, of course, we take care of the body. If the body needs sleep, you give sleep. If the body needs food, you give nourishment. You know? And in that way, I can use my instrument with a lot of respect. That is where the strength is accumulated. And the power is accumulated in the soul. That's the spiritual side of it. The metaphysical side of it. This is physical. That is metaphysical, the spiritual side. So I accumulate the power in the soul. And then with a very conscious understanding that I, the soul, is working through this instrument, the body, you know, then there is exchange of energy. See? the strength and the power working together then spreads energy. You understand? So that energy comes from, of course that's a bridge, energy is a bridge, but where does it come from? It generates into the soul. And even in the soul, where? In my mind. Whatever I create in my mind is then generating the energy. So if I create positive thoughts, it generates positive energy. But if I create rejection, then it generates rejection. If I create anger, it generates anger. You see the vibrations of anger. So, it's very important that I actually check there. I can't check out there, you know, I have to check there. Where? In the mind. And that's where my superconscious level of the mind helps me. It helps me to sort myself out there. See? So I want to generate the energy of unconditional love. So first I have to create that within me. Yeah? And I want to generate peace. So I have to create those peaceful thoughts there. And so it's a very beautiful exercise which helps me to fortify myself. And that's where meditation helps me. Somebody asked me a very interesting question. Do you think it's only one way meditation that you can, you know, tap your the superconscious mind? And I said, no, you can do it the other way also. You know, which way? As long as you can concentrate. Meditation helps me to concentrate. Issue is concentration, nothing else. You know, if you can concentrate with your prayer, then it's fine. Or if you can concentrate with your whatever, namaz or whatever you call it, you know, that's fine too, but how many people can do that? See? Concentration is the issue. Meditation helps me to concentrate. And that helps me to tap into my superconscious level of the mind. You know? First, of course, it's cleansing process. I flush out all my negativity, you know, and my rejection and my anger and my whatever, you know. So once I flush it out, it's washed out, you know, then I bring the superconscious out. It is stored with a lot of positivity. It's stored with a lot of powers, innate values, you know, qualities. It has a lot which we don't realize. Whatever is impossible in other level of the mind, it's possible here. And then I start working with that. And that helps me to be there now. And take the pleasure out of that. Make beautiful memories out of now. And then of course it's a full cycle. It's a full cycle. Whatever I've done now, you know, I will come back to that again. It's a very lovely experience. You know? It does become history, of course. It does become past. But you can't bring that again into your life, so you live with it. So if you spoil the now, then it is going to come back to you, but spoiled only. You know? So I have to rectify here now. I can't rectify it in the past, I can't rectify it in the future. It has to be now. And so, yes, I am now presently serving in the continent of Africa. And I just love it. I love it. Of course, we have our own challenges, mind you. You know, And when I see some things around here, we have our challenges, you see. Like you have running water, tap water 24 hours. We don't have that in many countries, you know. We have storage system. So when the storage is empty, then you don't have water. So then you have to look for things. We don't have 24 hours power. Yes, I know when the West, sometimes America doesn't have power, it's a world news, you know. It's breaking news. Ours is never breaking news, you know. It's just that when you don't switch it on, it's not there, okay, fine. No problem. But if it is there, okay, very good, happy, you know. So it's like, you know, you out of that conditions also, you just have to see what is the best you want. Many people ask me, what do you think is so nice there? You just have to judge what you want, really. Do you want materialistic pleasure and materialistic attainments and, you know, canopies and protection? Or do you want the nature? Do you want, you know, real things, real fresh air and real, you know what I mean, yeah? So you have to see what you want. You just have to choose in life. That's it, and make the best out of it. And so, yes, I was brought up there in that very natural environment. Also, sometimes challenging, you know, some roads are broken, and you just have to cope with those broken roads, you know. And but yes, still, it's just so interesting that maybe the roads, like, you know, the other day we were in London, and we went shopping. And somebody told me, oh, we can't do shopping because it is a very long queue. So you have things and you can't do shopping because it's a long queue. We don't have so much, we don't have many variety, but we can shop, yes, you know. And then one told me, we can't take the car because parking is an issue, very big problem. And parking is very expensive. We'll go walking. So I said, you see, so we are nowhere far because we also don't, many people don't have cars. You see? Maybe we don't have parking problem. We do have. Example. You know? We don't have such parking problem. You know? But, you understand? So if you want to take the pleasure of whatever situation you have, you can. You can. One told me, oh, I'll take you in my car, but we'll have to park so far, so we'll have to walk a lot. walk a lot. So we're walking a lot anyway, you know. So it's either way, it's just the same. You see, universe is such that it's again a circle, you know, and it's whole. So, sitting and crying there and saying, oh my God, look, Europe has all the facilities, we don't have those facilities. Or you sitting here and saying, oh, Africa has such beautiful weather and food and all that. And look, we don't have that here, you know. We can't go to a market and pick things organic, you know. Think, we're never going to have the pleasure of life, you know. And not only life, but, you know, we will never spiritually grow. But being wherever you are, all my life I'm in Africa. But when I'm here, I take the most out of here. I enjoy it very much. I don't sit and think about and cry about, you know, what I left home. No, why? You know? So, in every step, make the most. You are the master. You are the master. I am the master. Time doesn't control me. I create time. See? Situation doesn't create me. I create situations. See? And so it is in my hands what type of situation I want to create for myself. I was just telling you about Mozambique. This was in the 90s, it wasn't now. Maybe Sonia must have heard that experience. But anyway, I'll just share with all of you. It was in the 90s, I think it was 95 or 96. And the country had come out of war. It's been about 5 or 6 years. The roads are still quite broken. Now, of course, it's very nice, but in those days, And there was this very, very lovely person who said, you know, sister, I want to take you to my town. It's a tiny little town, Seychelles. And it had gone through a lot of trauma because they had so much floods that the whole town was washed out. You know, people's things were gone and, you know, it was quite traumatizing. So they just came out of that trauma also, war and then this trauma and so, you know. So I said, okay, I don't mind coming. He said that we'll come and pick you up, but we can't come and drop you. We've got coach service. So they will bring you back to Maputo. I said, okay, but I have to come on time because I have my flight next day. So they said, no problem. It's very easy. You can just come, you know. So I said, okay. So we arrived into Seychelles. I had a talk, you know, very nice gathering of about 200 people. And so I shared with all of them that evening, and they all enjoyed it. They had so much hope and so happy, and they felt, you know, we were not neglected, because sometimes tiny little towns feel neglected, you know. And so they were very happy. Next day in the morning, they put me on a luxury coach, of course, so-called luxury. You can imagine what it is like, but it doesn't matter. It was still okay. So they said, oh, in 4 hours you will reach your destination, you know, Maputo. I said, okay. I did not speak a word of Portuguese. Now I can speak 5 or 6 words. But then it was like I didn't even have any idea what Portuguese was.
Mm.
And so they put me on this coach, and I thought, you know, I will reach in 4 hours time. But after an hour, I see upheaval in the coach, you know. And the coach was stopped on the road, middle of nowhere. And everybody was running around, and I asked someone what happened, you know. And in those days, people didn't speak a word of English, not even a single word of English. Now, they speak, they understand a lot compared to. And so nobody answered me, nobody replied to me. I was just standing there, I was the only foreigner. You know, they were all local Mozambicans, you know. So I just stood there, I had no idea what to do now, you know. Anyway. So suddenly a lady, you know, very huge African lady comes in her traditional clothes with her head scarf and all that. And she's talking to me something in Portuguese. I said, no Portuguese. Mm-hmm. So she just walks away, you see. And I thought she must be angry or something, you know, it doesn't matter. So I just stood there. I had no idea what was going on, why people were running around, you know. And then she comes with a young university student. It's his son. It's her son. And he told me, my mother, he's broken English, what he learns in the university, said, where are you going? So I said, Maputo, Oliveira Termines. So he says, see, my mother say, you wait here. My mother say, bring luggage, give me your luggage. I said, that one there, pull it out.
Mm.
Then I saw people running around, hopping on any transport, you know. Usually, of course, when a bus breaks down, they bring another bus, a coach, and they put you on that one. But this, nothing like that, you know, it's a broken country yet. So there's nothing, you just organize yourself. You don't get your refunds, you don't get nothing. You know? So I had never lived in a country like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people were hopping onto any transportation. So I also decided to go. And that madam said, you stand here. I said, okay. And I stood with her. Everybody left. Then a country bus came. A country bus, you know, real country bus now. That was broken, you know. This luxury coach was okay. And so it came full, but she said, we will go on this bus now. So we got onto the bus, and she tells this gentleman, get up, let her sit. And so I sat down, you know, very powerful lady. And then, you know, they are very lovely at their heart. Africans are so lovely with their heart, you know. So they know what hospitality is. They know what service is, you know. So this gentleman with a lot of honor got up, you know, and gave me his seat by the window. And I was sitting there. And suddenly after a while, an hour or so, I mean, I couldn't speak to anyone. The only language was language of love, eyes, you know. That's it, acknowledgement with eyes, you know. We were just looking at one another. I don't remember that lady. I have no idea who it was, what her name was, nothing, you know. And so I was just sitting there. Suddenly something, you know, some liquid like water started coming on me, quite smelly. And so I was like, it's not raining outside. Where is this water coming from? You know? And so this lady goes to this gentleman, you get up and let her sit there, you know, away from the window now, because this was coming from the window. They know everything, you see, because they're from there. So it was the country bus, so the beer, you know, the local beer barrel broke. Yeah? So it was all coming through. I had never touched beer. I don't know what, I don't know what beer is like. Anyway. So then, you know, it was coming. So she knew it. They all knew it, you know. So maybe it's a regular practice or whatever, you know, it breaks and it leaks and whatever. So then she moved. I said, no, it's okay. It's okay. Because it was like, you know, too much now to ask people to get up. But slowly I noticed that the coach was now empty. You know, people were going away. The only people left now was me and her. You know, okay. The driver was driving us to Maputo, but it was only me and her, you know, and we had nothing to converse. We were just looking, you know. Yeah. And then when we arrived in Maputo, she could see in the terminus, this building, that the host had come to pick me up. They were Indians from Mozambique. So they speak Gujarati, they speak Hindi, they speak English, they speak Portuguese. So they could communicate with all of us, you see. So they started communicating with this lady. And then they told me, you know, she was gone. She said bye and she left, you know. But then they told me that when the bus broke and she saw you standing right there in the woods, she could feel some angel has come down, you know. And so she came to speak to me. But I didn't understand anything. So she wanted to help me. And so she brought her son. And she said, we were just going one stop ahead. They were not coming all the way 4 hours. They were just going one step ahead in another little town to do some work, she and her son. So she told her son to get off and start working. She said, I will go and drop her all the way to Maputo and then come back on my return. You know, and who would do that? Tell me, who would do that? She's not expected anything from me. She did not expect a return ticket from me. It was just love, nothing else. You know, it was a pleasure of service. You understand? Mm-hmm. So maybe those countries don't have all the materialistic pleasures around them. But they still have those values, human values, you know, respect, whatever you call it. And you know, my heart was so touched. If I knew where she was, I would have now go and met her or whatever it is. I have no idea who that person was. Even if she was there and I would have taken the address through my host, but everything was just so fast, you know, so fast. But these are the memories, you understand? So that memory, that experience of life is not painful to me. It's not fearful to me. It's not creating fear in me, see? But it is so beautiful. So even in the worst situation, you could get the best out of that. That is the power of now. And nothing else. If I got scared or upset or, oh, I'm stuck in a new country somewhere in the remote, I have no language facility, I don't speak anything. No, nothing like that. It's just your energy. Remember your energy we talked about? You know, sharing that energy. That energy attracts like-minded people. If I create that fear at that point, or that rejection, or that anger, or that, you know, whatever, you know, I am attracting that type of energy. You see? So things will come to me which will scare me. People will come to me which will trouble me. But in the worst situation, I can create the best, and that is me and the power of now. Is that clear? And you also understood how we do that, isn't it? Yeah? Meditation helps me to concentrate. When I concentrate, it's exactly like if you take, you know, a piece of paper, put it under the sun, you know, and try to burn with the sun rays, it will never burn. It's there, the paper is there, the sun is there, it will never burn. But what do you put? The magnifying glass in between. We've all done that in school, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And when I put the magnifying glass in between, all the rays from the sun concentrate, you know, and then it burns the paper straight away. So some people ask me, if I pray, is it going to help me? Yes, it will help, but not as much as concentrating, you know, because the rays get scattered, the energy gets scattered, you know, and so what I need is concentration. And not concentration in golf, huh? That will not help. Some people say, oh, I play golf and I have so much concentration, I enjoy, that's my meditation. Yeah, not that, you know. Not concentration on food, you know. That's all materialistic. It's going to give you a limited outcome. But I want to concentrate, I the spiritual being, connect to the powerhouse, who is the power, the unlimited power. Know, that is, somebody calls it God, somebody calls it, you know, that supernatural power, powerhouse, whatever you call it, that energy, you know, the unlimited energy, I connect to that, see, spiritually. Oh, one time, you know, we were at our headquarters in India, and we had a group, and Dadi, the senior most, was, you know, sharing something. Of course, it was very informal, like, you know, meeting a family. And so we were all there who could understand Hindi, but there was one brother who was Australian, you know, and he was sitting there. So I was translating for him, you know, and what Dadi was saying, the senior sister was saying. So the senior sister just asked, are you all happy? So we all said, yes, we are very happy to be here, you know. Are you happy with your food and your bed and all that? Are you comfortable? We said, yes, very comfortable. So now that you're in India, what would you like to eat in India, you know, at the headquarters? So you understand, for example, if you're in Italy, somebody will say, would you like to have Italian pizzas, like something like that, you know? If you're in India, would you like to have chapati and dal or something? So the delicacy of that land. So there is one junk food in India called Golgappa, you know. It's, I know, tongue twister, but it's very nice. It is like little puris, you know, with, you put some water in there, very, very lovely, fragrant taste water of mint and mango and all that. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you about that. But the main thing was, you know, that we asked everybody, would you like to have Golgappa? And we all said, yes, you know. But this Australian brother was shocked, you know, and I said, what happened? You know, he says, can Dadi read minds? I said, no. I said, but she read my mind. You know, she's coming to my mind. I said, no. You know, she says, I'll tell you later. He said, he goes that way. I said, okay. So we finished the meeting. Then we went out, and he goes, you know what? I am practicing Raja Yoga meditation for last 5 years, and I'm enjoying my meditation a lot. I feel my soul is very powerful. I can connect to God. I can concentrate. I can receive. I am really enjoying it now, you know. But before the 5 years, I meditated 5 years with another meditation group in Australia, you know. And of course, I said, which meditation group? He says, they give mantras. You pay them a particular amount, and then they give you a mantra to chant on. And when they give you that mantra, you're not allowed to tell anybody about that mantra. Otherwise, it doesn't work. You know, and you're not allowed to ask the meaning of that mantra. So when the guru gives you the mantra, you can't ask what it means. If you ask what it means, then it doesn't work, you know. So I said, okay, so what, you know. So he says, you know, I was meditating and my mantra was Golgappa. I said, Dadi didn't know your mantra. It's a food, you know, it's a delicacy of India. He says, what? I said, yeah. Like the pizzas and the lasagnas type of thing, you know. So he says, that means I've been meditating on Golgappa for 5 years. Well, I don't know that, but yes, it simply means food, you know, it's something to eat, it's a delicacy. And he was so shocked. He said, no wonder my meditation didn't work. And then I decided to change to the Brahma Kumaris, you know. So naturally, if I want to go away from this gross dimension and connect with that spiritual being up there, I can't concentrate on limited things like food, like materialistic things, like human beings, like gurus. You know, you can't. Otherwise, you're not going to spiritually be elevated. You don't grow, you see. But you need to connect to that. And then when you connect, you receive. And how do you know you're receiving? That's a very interesting thing. When you receive, you feel very full all the time. If you use your own capacity of love for others, you know, you'll come to a stage where you will start feeling drained out. If you keep on appreciating someone all the time, you know, then you'll come to a stage where you get drained out and say, do I have to appreciate this person all the time? You know? So when you use your power, whatever your capacity is, you come to a stage where you do get drained out. Interesting, one time somebody asked me, you've been sharing all this knowledge, you don't get drained out? And I was like, no, I don't get drained out, because I am not using my knowledge. You see, I, the soul, first go within, you know, I have that harmony of my heart and my mind, and my body, I harmonize, I become the master, you know, and then I connect to the ultimate source, Baba, the supreme, you know. And when I connect to the ocean of all the powers and ocean of all the attributes, and then I fill myself up, you know. So I'm receiving ocean of love into me, I fill myself up. I receive ocean of knowledge, so I receive the knowledge in me. And then I use it. First I fill myself up, mind you, you know, and then it overflows, I use it for all of you. There's no margin of getting drained out. But if you use your own stock, yes, you come to a stage where you will get drained out. You know? That's why in this day and age, I need meditation. I need it. So that I do not feel empty. I do not feel drained out. And that helps me to take the pleasure of now. And of course, as I told you, this moment is not going to stay forever with us. But the feeling is going to stay forever with us. So feeling is more important rather than the act. And that's what I, the soul, need to accumulate. And when I accumulate that, the soul becomes very rich. The soul becomes very powerful. And if I don't accumulate, naturally what am I going to accumulate? Regret, rejection, anger, emptiness. It drains me out. When it drains me out, I'm very empty. I'm very lonely. Lonely in spite of so many people around. But if you're full, even if nobody is around, you never feel lonely. Today when Sonia was asking me, is there anything you wanted to do different from this life? I personally have never ever felt I'm lonely. And sometimes I see students coming to the center. They have a husband, they've got lovely children around them, they have everybody, and they say they feel very lonely. And you wonder. See? So loneliness and not loneliness is not somebody around you. You know? It's you yourself. See? You can have very, very new feelings all the time. If I have a lot of people around me, I love talking to people. I'm very social. But if I don't have anybody, I don't mind. I will take the pleasure out of that time also. I enjoy it, you know. So it is me. Everything is me. I'm responsible to create what I want. I'm the master. And that is the appreciation of. Because remember, it's not always going to stay the same. You know, when I just came into the room, just before that I was on the internet. And the moment I start working on my work, you know, on my account, people see me online, so they all start coming into chatting, you know. They all want to chat. And so now I was chatting with four people in four different countries, you know. One was in DRC Congo, and the other one was in Ethiopia, and the third one was in Zimbabwe, and the fourth one was somewhere else, you know. So, Sister Pratibha, where are you? Om Shanti, this, you know, this. So this lady in Zimbabwe, one was from Botswana. So the lady in Zimbabwe goes, you know, I'm back in Zimbabwe, it's very nice, this, that. I said, yeah, it's even going to get very nice, you know. So what happened, you know, that country has gone through a steep fall economically and all that, but it's still so beautiful. So you know, people sometimes lose hope, you know, seeing the situation then, see. So when good days never lasted for a long time, bad days are also not going to last for a long time. It's just a passing out cloud in life, you know. So why do you get stuck with that? You see, you just have to just let go, you know, and then again, best is going to come to you. So it's a cycle, it's a cycle. But main thing is, if I hold on to it, then those memories can really haunt me. So I don't want to create such memories which will haunt me. I want to create such memories which will give me pleasure out of it. That is in my hands. I'm going to stop there because I don't know what time is. I think we have 10 minutes. Any questions? Any questions? Anything you would like to say? Not necessarily questions. Acknowledgement, sharing, inspiration. Yes.
This wonderful story you told us about the woman that followed you
in Africa.
Yeah. I was thinking about, if you could have communicated, do you think it has been different?
I don't think so, no.
You don't think so?
Because you see, it's a heart. It's a person's heart.
Yeah.
she didn't know I couldn't communicate. She still came to help me.
Yeah.
Because, you see, it was the energy which pulled her.
Yeah.
I could have created energy which would mug me and cheat and take my luggage away and go away. I could create that type of energy also. So she said, you know, that I saw this lady standing like an angel.
Yeah.
So it was the vibrations which were generating, which pulled her out of the whole thing. See?
Yeah.
So yes.
But a lot of people stay, they maybe not would could receive her hospitality and say, oh no, you don't need to follow me.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe
so
that would also
happen.
It's
a big question today.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's so
I understand.
Yeah.
But you see, that is rejection and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Reaction.
Yeah.
So this is what, you know,
yes.
It helps me to do.
Yeah.
I open up myself so much that I open up with now, I open up with time, I open up with people around me. So I trust people. You know, I trust people. I would not not trust anybody. You know, if I trust myself, I trust others. Because I'm only going to attract energy which is good. You see? So nobody will want to come and cheat me or take my things away. You understand?
Yeah.
If you trust in yourself,
yeah.
Then you can trust in others also. Yes,
yeah.
That's true. That I didn't think. Thank you. Yes, anything else? No questions? Okay, so Sonia, tell them what we're doing tomorrow. Are they coming, this group coming tomorrow for the room? Or is another group? Or
I don't know. If anyone would like to come tomorrow, there's a workshop. 2 to 4 o'clock tomorrow with Pratibha also. You're welcome. There are spaces. No. So if it's nice weather, we can have tea in their yard here. And you know, it's like this. There's plenty of space outside. But maybe we should do a meditation together then?
Yes.
You
yes.
can help them to help us to practice concentration?
Yes. yes.
Okay. That's it, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Let's have a meditation. You want music or without music?
Music, please. Step within. Let us take an inward journey. Within myself. I listen to the silence there. soothing. It helps me to harmonize. Harmony within myself helps me to discipline the mind and the intellect. Go upward. Beyond sound and actions. Beyond this cross world, go into the world of light. Fill myself up.
Thank you.
this energy. Which is spread around the world and in the world. I enjoy this now and I appreciate it. Feel the strength in it. It's a powerful feeling. Just be in the now. And create what I want. Return to this body and the world. And I share this feelings.
Shanti. Tak, you're welcome to come and take a sweet and a blessing card for you. And I was thinking, you know, this is like a tradition or a custom in Brahma Kumaris. And I suppose it's a way to give a hug to each other. It's a spiritual hug. You meet each other with the eyes and you see a soul to soul. And you share good vibrations, because Pratibha, you know, she's not the person that would hug 50 people one evening, you know. So you come up and you have a sweet exchange of good vibration through the eyes. So that's all this is just an excuse for that, because it feels easier to get something in your hand rather than just standing there. So that's all it's all about. So if those in the middle come first, then the others. The others can get up and maybe find a way out.
I'll put on some music.
backwards.